This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Todd Homo here. We are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, NIL Game Changers, and Purdy Insurance here on News Radio 1070. Of course, it's Wednesday afternoon. Steve is at Quarterback Club. The Nittany Lions take on Bowling Green this week. We will talk to the Falcons play-by-play voice at 2:05, Todd Walker. Different Todd Walker, not the old second baseman for the Colorado Rockies. And at 2:35, Chris Raymond joins us to speak about his new book, Men in White. It's a book about the 2012 Penn State football team, the first team to return after the scandal, the first year under Bill O'Brien. Should be a fun conversation and should be a real fun book to read. We'll get into a little bit of high school stuff here since Steve is at Quarterback Club. I guess the biggest thing that happened in the area this weekend is Jim Roth got his 500th career victory, and Mount Carmel as a program got its 900th victory this week. Southern Columbia bounced back against Loyal Sock. It was 41-0. The Lancers were playing without their starting quarterback, and the Tigers took advantage. Loyal Sock was never really able to get anything going offensively against the Southern Columbia defense. And all those mistakes and kind of the struggles that the Tigers had in the opener against Wyomissing that had Coach Roth upset looked like they went away. They did some of the things that they wanted to be successful when we talked in the preseason. You know, they ran the ball well. They were able to throw the ball downfield a little bit. I think it's pretty clear now that the sophomore Aiden Hockenbrock is going to be the Tigers' starting quarterback. They have a couple real good athletes on the outside in the passing game. Blaze Kissinger had a couple of catches for the Tigers again. Their big tight end Jace Malachowski had two long catches for touchdowns in the first half. On the Mount Carmel side of things, again, that's another team that's playing a little differently this year. Their 1,000-yard rusher, Luke Blessing, was lost in the first game of the season with an injury. Not sure how long he's out. Cooper Kuricki stepped in and had 180 yards and two touchdowns on the ground in the victory over Central Columbia. And Gavin Moshelik again topped 200 yards passing. Sophomore receiver Jaden Delaney had a school record 13 catches in the victory. So, again, Southern Columbia's Jim Roth gets his 500th career victory, and Mount Carmel gets their 900th victory as a school. I got a chance to go to Shikellamy and see the new field, the new athletic complex, and it is beautiful. I've been going there probably since I was 4 or 5. My grandparents lived out at the end of Spruce Street there, and my grandfather and I used to walk out sometimes early in the season on Friday nights to watch a game. And it just looks completely different. I mean, obviously with a turf and all-weather track, but, I mean, the concession stand in the corner by the visitor stands is gone. That's now a garage. The bathrooms are moved. That's not necessarily a bad thing if you remember the old Shikellamy Stadium bathrooms, but it just looks a little different. It's beautiful. The locker room complex, it looks immaculate. It's real great for the Braves and the Shikellamy athletic programs. Now, obviously, the first two games on the new turf didn't go the greatest. The Braves lost in overtime in the opener, and then got shut out 30-0 against Lewisburg on last Friday night. Excuse me. Actually, had a fun little seat for that game set in between the suit and the chief, Dave Ritchie, on one side, and Justin Michaels and Greg Wetzel on the other side, why they did the radio. You know, for Lewisburg, the big thing for the Green Dragons, they really, I don't want to say struggled because they were able to get field goals, but they weren't able to complete drives early. And, you know, that's one thing they're going to have to figure out as we get later on into the season. You know, their first half scores are 15-15, but they've dominated the second half to the tune of 30-8. And, you know, a couple of kids I talked to after the game are really, they would like to get off to a little better start than they have been the last couple of weeks. And, you know, the schedule isn't too tough the next 2 weeks. They should be favored against Bloomsburg and Midwest before they get Warrior Run in week five. For the Braves, you know, I said it to Coach Kaiser after the game. It's more mental than it is physical for these kids right now. You can see the very obvious talent they have throughout the field on different levels of the different levels. It's just the issue. The issue is just, you know, they shot themselves in the foot a couple times. You look at the stuff, and they only had, I believe, two turnovers and two penalties. But if I don't think any of them could have come at a worse time. The fumble set up the first touchdown of the game in the third quarter for Lewisburg. Their interception was negated quickly by another interception of their own. So, you know, they just kind of, you know, if they can get away from the mistakes and play a clean game, I think the Braves would be in pretty good shape. It, of course, doesn't get much easier this week for them. They head out to Shamokin for their first road game, and the Indians are playing as well as anybody in the area. They're 2-0. They've topped more than 200 or 300 yards rushing in both of their victories. You know, Logan Steele has three rushing touchdowns, an interception return for a touchdown. They're spreading the ball and they're around in the running game between Jakeem Clinton and Jace Gank. And, you know, they haven't gotten, you know, they've kind of kept Chase Pencil holstered for these first two games. You know, it's an explosive player they haven't really had to use yet during a game. So the Indians are playing real well right now. What else do we get into here? You know, looking ahead this week, you know, like I said, Penn State opens their home portion of the schedule at Beaver Stadium this weekend against Bowling Green. Susquehanna opens this week on a kind of an odd night. The Riverhawks open their football season at 7 o'clock on Friday night. They play Bridgewater. Should be an interesting season for the Riverhawks. As you all probably know, undefeated the last 2 years in the regular season, or undefeated last year, and I think the previous season as well, and got that home playoff game, and were upset on their home field in the first round of the Division III playoffs. So Riverhawks looking to shake past that now. In their defense, Grove City was the one that upset them last year, and then Grove City went up to Cortland, gave them all kinds of problems, and Cortland needed an overtime field goal to win, and Cortland ended up winning the national title. So you never, you know, that's one of those things that, you know, parity has kind of come to Division III football. I think most people, when they think of Division III football, think of Mount Union in Ohio, and I think if I remember correctly, Cortland might be the third team from the Northeast to win a Division III national title. So, of course, that makes Friday night super busy between the high school football games. Susquehanna is Susquehanna's home. And, of course, we talked a lot yesterday. The Eagles have their opener down in Brazil with the Packers on Friday night. Some interesting, the high school games on our family of networks here in Sunbury Broadcasting on 107.3 this week. Probably the biggest game of week three, depending on, Jersey Shore, or Seals Grove's heading up to Jersey Shore to face the Bulldogs. Of course, you know, the Seals broke the Bulldogs' string of district championships last year, beat them and tied them in the regular season. Of course, the tragedy that occurred during the regular season game down at Seals Grove when Max Engel passed away. You know, it's a group of players that have been through a lot together, but have also, You know, if you think, you know, I think most people consider the Braves Selinsgrove's rival, and I think 1B right now has to be Jersey Shore, just for the sense that these two teams, I think there's only one season in the last 10 they haven't met twice. You know, perennial, you know, it's usually the District 4 title game between these two teams. It has been the last two seasons. I think, like the aforementioned Shamokin Indians, will have a little something to say about that. You know, among those, would certainly like to break through among those three teams to be the other finalists this season. But, you know, and that's, it's going to be an interesting one. Got a chance to see the Bulldogs in their opener against Dallas, and they had a real tough schedule to start the season between Dallas in their opener, and then Delaware Valley, a 6A school, visit them last week, and Jersey Shore won that one 14-10. I think the biggest thing you can take away from the Bulldogs is the defense is the same. You know, Jersey Shore is going to get after you, and that's where their strength lies right now. Offensively, they're kind of in the same boat as the Seals. They're, you know, they're trying to figure out what they can do in the passing game. Their quarterback, Elijah Jordan, first-year starter, was their tailback last year, and his problem isn't, it's not that he can't throw the ball. He's kind of got a funky motion, and he's not super accurate. But once, you know, if you watch that Dallas game, they had, took 2.5 quarters to get untracked, but the last quarter and a half, he was accurate, was able to get down the field, and Jersey Shore marched up and down the field. So that's going to be something to look for the Seals defense this week. And it's going to be interesting to see what Selinsgrove offense has an answer. Did not score last week against down at Twin Valley. Selinsgrove's lone touchdown came on a kickoff return from Brett Rice. So it's going to be interesting to see how Selinsgrove figures out how they're you know, how to approach their offense and how to attack that Jersey Shore defense on Friday night. On 1070 AM with Chief and the Suit, Kevin Herr, Shikellamy will travel out to Shamokin. Already kind of dove into that one a little bit. And then Lewisburg gets their actual first game on their home field on the Valley 100.9 with Greg Retzel and Justin Michaels. Lewisburg will host Bloomsburg at Christy Mathewson Memorial Stadium. Their first win against Lime Mountain was a home win, but they had to play that one over at Milton. That should be, you know, Bloomsburg played Danville pretty tough for the first quarter and a half, and Lewisburg kind of, you know, can't look past that, but Lewisburg should be favored. I think one of the things the Green Dragons are going to be working on this week, I think Greg mentioned it when we talked about when he was previewing the Shikellamy game, got to get a little better in the passing game to the Green Dragons. I think they should be okay. You know, it's one of those things. They have the athletes down the field. Nick Coleman, Jalen Walker, and Mateo Cardillo are three guys that can get open downfield. Now it's just a kind of a matter of getting them the ball. Another big one, should be an interesting matchup, is up at Milton. Southern Columbia makes the trip up there to play the Black Panthers. Milton's kind of in the same boat they were last season, maybe a little less, you know, a little less good on offense as they were last year, but their defense played real well the first 2 weeks. Offense could not get on track last week against Montoursville, who's probably one of the favorites in 3A if Danville falters and across the district. But Montoursville did a real good job defensively against Milton, shut them out, and Milton really couldn't get untracked. It's going to be interesting. Their quarterback, Isaiah Minium, got nicked up and didn't play the last half of the game. Coach Matt Wilson said that was more his choice to kind of, you know, they were already behind, and it was kind of get him ready for the rest of the season. So that should be a pretty interesting one at Alumni Field. I think that's about it. Well, we talked a little bit about Mount Carmel and their 900 victory. They will the Red Tornadoes, it'll be an interesting game. They don't play Mifflinburg much, and Mifflinburg is 0-2, and it's going to be interesting to see how Coach Cody Botts in his first year kind of handles that. They had the one-point loss against Loyal Sock in the opener, but Danville was way too much for them last week, and it's a matter of, you know, mentally bouncing back from that, because I think I've said it before, I think Mifflinburg's got a chance to be pretty good. It's just this first 3 weeks of the schedule between Loyal Sock, Danville, and Mount Carmel is pretty tough. And, you know, speaking of Danville, number one state in Class 3A, they had no real issues with the Wildcats. Bo Sheptock had 200 yards rushing again. Madden Patrick has 490 yards and 6 touchdowns and no interceptions so far this season. So should be, they get Montourzo. Montourzo feels like they're a little better than they have been the last couple years. But again, this is kind of a tough matchup, and it's going to be kind of an answer to see how good this Montoursville team is at 2-0 right now. So that'll wrap up our first segment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We'll take a break, and hopefully Steve will be here when we get back here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When car repairs get difficult,
well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Hello, welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sorry, I was listening to a little Autograph there for a second. The song always reminds me of my dad. We always used to play that when I was little in the jukebox at Amato's in Sunbury. That's how long that is. I don't know how long it's been since the Amato's was on Market Street in Sunbury. But we are back here on the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve is at Quarterback Club. The Nittany Lions host Bowling Green this week on 107.3. I do believe they get ready to go about 10:30 on Saturday morning, kickoff at noon at Beaver Stadium. I don't know if you got a chance to see the Phillies game last night against the Blue Jays, or if you turned it off in disgust after the first inning after Tyler Phillips gave up, I believe, 6 earned, and it was 6-1 quickly. But Kyle Schwarber had a huge game last night. 3 homers, 6 RBIs, including the go-ahead 3-run homer in the ninth inning to give the Phillies the lead. They almost blew that one, too. I think it made it 10-7, and the game ended up 10-9. But I saw this late last night from Jason Stark. Schwarber's line, 6 at-bats, 4 runs, 5 hits, 6 RBIs, and 3 homers has only been done one other time in the modern era, and it was Dave Winfield on April 13th, 1991. And it's one of those things we've talked on and off about the last couple of weeks, is kind of how the Phillies have kind of hit a spot where they've struggled this season, and then really have, especially the starting pitching. And I think, it seems like they've righted the ship. I think we talked a little bit about this in this section last week. But, other than Taiwan Walker and Tyler Phillips right now, I think the Phillies feel pretty confident in whoever they start right now. I Nola was struggling for a while. Zach wasn't as sharp as he was at the beginning of the season. And last couple times I watched both those guys pitch, it seems like they're in a much better spot. Now the big thing, of course, is surviving this month of September, and I think they didn't quite put away the Braves this weekend, but it was enough. I think they played this afternoon. Yeah, 2:30 on Eagle 107 is pregame. First pitch is 3:07 from Toronto tonight, or this afternoon. And we'll see how it goes the rest of September for the Phillies. Paul Skeens had another good outing last night. Struggled a little bit about his command, but was able to get outs. And the Pirates were able to win last night. We'll be back after this break. Steve should be back. You're listening to the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you're turning 65 or retired...
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I literally just walked in. I mean, like, the second walked in.
Well, then I guess it was good I played that extra 30-second commercial, huh?
Yeah, quarterback club went a little longer today. which is fine. I mean, I have no problem with it. I also parked at a spot where I should have gotten a ticket, and I got away with it. So, I mean, there's going to be a point where I'm not going to get away with it. But today was one of those, like, thank you, God. It's like, because I couldn't find a parking space to get over there today. I think there's an event going on at the Jordan Center. Who did you label as our opening half-hour sponsor? That way I'm not.
I just say all four of them. I don't have a read.
Oh, you do? Ah, okay. Cool. Well, this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Business, athletes, they'll get you going. NILGameChangers.org. All right. We're supposed to have Matt Catrillo here. Are we going to have him tomorrow? What are you going to do with him?
He said 1:15 Friday.
1:15 Friday.
Yes.
Boy, just when I thought that wasn't a reason to live. All right, so... Oh, goodness gracious. Okay. All right. Who is this guy? I missed class today. Oh, God. I always love when I get those emails. I missed class. I should have been there. Yeah. Well, you know what I told my class? Do I know? I was 3.5 years. So I was fortunate. I graduated in 3.5 years. And I told them with class, I said, you know how many classes I missed in 3.5 years? None. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. I mean, that's what I thought I was supposed to do. I thought, you know, my parents are there helping me out. I thought, like, my responsibility was to that's why I don't get the I miss class thing. That's not the life I lived.
As somebody that had those issues as a younger student, I would say people mature at different rates.
Right, but I mean, I have a 400 level class.
Oh, well, they've been there for a while.
Right, I'm not teaching 100 level where that's an excuse.
No. I mean,
you'd think at this point they kind of got it down. Now, the vast majority of the class was there today. I mean, the vast majority. But like the first email I get is, I missed class. Okay. But I told him in the first class, I said, no offense, I don't teach it twice. Sorry. I know it sounds mean, but I got other things to do, you know, besides babysit you. Yeah. I've got other things to do. I had to go to quarterback club. So I had to make sure I was prepared to talk to Tony Rojas, prepared to talk to Dominic DeLuca, prepared to talk to Trey Wallace, and prepare to talk to James Franklin. Then I'd do this show, so I had to prepare to do this. All right? Then after this, I'm going to go to practice for about an hour, and then I've got to drive to Williamsport. There's one more Spikes game with the Cutters tonight. Okay? So I already taught class today. You want me to reteach it, or Am I allowed to go on with the other things I was supposed to do? See what I mean?
I can't believe people. Well, I can give away. Oh, I can guess one, but 400 level already.
I mean, I can. Well, look. It is. You name the relative. In 23 years of passing, you name the type of relative that could possibly pass away. Yeah. I've had them all. I was joking yesterday with Wayne Sebastianelli. Said, now, this never did happen. This one never happened. I said, yeah, that's what I want to hear. My great-great-great-grandfather died. Really? It was unexpected? I was like, what? Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Oh, if it is, it better make the news.
Yeah, I know. He was 124. Really? Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, well. As I told you, this will be the last year for that. So we will endure whatever and move forward. It's just time to stop teaching class. That's all. You know, it just is time. Now, we've got a fun week because, of course, we have college football in Penn State and Bowling Green in the home opener. But we have the NFL starting this week. You got the Ravens and the Chiefs. That's tomorrow night. Now, that's the NBC game. I think the NBC's got that game, right?
Yeah, it's on NBC. I think you can stream it, too, if you want.
Yeah, but that's fine. Most people have, like, the over-the-air, have the over-the-air part of it. And then Peacock has the game on Friday night between the Eagles and the Packers. Now, do you have Peacock?
I do. I never got rid of it from the playoff game.
Really? Did you just forget about it, or you just liked it?
I kind of forgot about it, and then my wife started watching something on it, and then the Olympics were on it, and now we're in September.
Okay. All right. Okay. No, that's what they're hoping for. They're hoping you forget it. They're hoping you forget it, and you keep paying for it. Then they take credit every month about how great it's been. I'm not joking.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
They make an app that finds all the streaming and stuff and other stuff you're paying for that you don't know and cancels it for you.
Well, what's interesting is I asked my class today how many of them have Peacock. Every hand went up except for two or three. Okay. Now, they're not probably on cable. They're probably doing a streaming service like Hulu or something like that, which opens the door to do stuff like that. So they probably have a combination of streaming options. But yeah, I'll say 75% of them had it.
So, I'd be interested to know at that age, how many of them actually have cable.
If I were to guess, and it's a complete guess, I would say less than a third.
Yeah.
It's expensive, as we all know. But what's interesting is that if you have a bunch of streaming services and you actually start adding them up, it's actually pretty close to your cable bill. That's what's so bizarre about it. That's bizarre.
I bet they've all taken away their ad-free tiers mostly. They've, raised their prices. They realized it wasn't sustainable.
Right. It's not sustainable. That model was not sustainable. I've always compared it to electric cars. We want to, cable. I mean, TV's trying to get you to stream. And people are like, because cable bills are high. Now, when it comes to electric cars, we're going to mandate electric cars. And right now, 7%, 6 to 7% of sales are electric cars. People are like, nah, not right now. I know with me, I have cable, because to me, right now, for cable, not right now. And I can add in Peacock. I will watch the game. But I'm the type that gets rid of stuff. Yeah, I'm the kind of person like, okay, you know, we got this for the one time. Let's get rid of it. So I get rid of it. Because I've got almost everything else. I mean, and what I want to see on cable, I have. I just want to be able to see whatever game I want whenever I want it. And that's always been like the number one thing for me. Can I see any game I want to watch? And now, whether you can do that with a streaming service like Hulu or something like that, I don't know. Because I think I'm probably the only one in my family, the only one that actually has cable. Everybody else in my family has streaming services. So I'm like the only, I mean, I'm the only one that does it. Now, do I like the price of it? No, I'm not crazy about the price of it, but I have a phone, I have internet, and I have cable all rolled into one. So, and for me right now, it works. Later on, maybe I'll change my mind, but as of right now, again, would I like to see it be less money? Yes. But do I want to change the services I'm getting? No. I mean, that's, that's where I am. That now somebody else may be in a different spot and they go, hey, look, I need to spend less money on this. This is the best way to do it. I completely get that. And if I'm a cable service, I'm asking myself why. See, that's what strikes me about, like, for example, let's take Comcast, for example. Do they ever sit down in meetings and ask themselves why? I can't answer that, neither can you. But
I think the cable's in the same, maybe not quite as bad right now, but in the same boat as newspapers and radio. They never adjusted to modern times. They never, ESPN's carriage fees went up and up and up. The other carriage fees went up and up and up. Right. And, you know, I know it's hard for people listening to this show to believe, but, you know, some people don't like sports and don't want ESPN.
That's exactly right.
And they never figured out a way to do the a la carte stuff or anything like that.
Right. Well, but then again, you know, I mean, both of those who don't like sports. I'm just kidding. as for radio... Radio was supposed to be buried with the advent of TV. It was not. Radio was supposed to be buried with the advent of cable. It was not. Over the year, terrestrial radio was supposed to be buried because of satellite radio. Now, I'll freely admit, look, I get in the car, I'm listening to satellite radio. I mean, a lot, because they have a lot of stuff I like. That's me. I listen to WKOK, you know, and I can get it on my car radio, even in State College. But there's been a lot of times where radio's been buried and declared, well, that'll never come back. What's hurt radio is the approach to it. When I came up in radio, you had 24 hours and somebody live on the air 24 hours. When I started out, and we're going back 44 years now, so my first professional job in radio was 1980. We had, morning drive, 6 to 10. Midday, 10 to 2. Afternoon, 2 to 6. Evening, 6 to 10. Late night, especially in a college town, 10 to 2. And we had the, quote, graveyard shift from 2 to 6 a.m. When somebody would leave one of the other shifts to get another job, everybody moved up on the clock because everybody on the station had experience. Everybody had experience. The least experienced person, of course, was the graveyard shift person. But they're still getting experience as they're going. Well, radio today doesn't have a lot of people that have experience in it. And it shows. I mean, that's the issue. The issue is the lack of experience because there's not as much live radio. I mean, on this station, think of what we have on live radio. We have On the Mark, right? And we have me. So you and I together, okay? After that, the next live thing that we do is sports, a game. I'm talking about local. I don't mean picking up live games like the Steelers or picking up a live game like Bucknell or something like that or Penn State. But I'm talking like Shikellamy High School football, Lewisburg football, Selins Grove football. I mean, that's where we're live. Yeah, now obviously we're live on the other stations in the mornings and so forth. But see, that's what it's down to right now. And are we cultivating really good people because we're not giving them a chance to grow on the radio, which then in turn benefits the audience? So, I mean, that's just me. That's an old-time philosophy there. But I also know it's a philosophy that worked and cultivated getting better on-air people. I mean, do we have better, especially on the national, like national shows, do we have better on-air people? And, you know, Dan Patrick's top shelf. But there are not a lot of top shelf national people. Right? Dan Patrick is.
There's not much left.
No, I mean, you know, you're getting hot takes. That doesn't serve the audience. You're getting, I mean, it doesn't, to me, when Dan Patrick's show is over, do you feel like you learn more? Yeah, I do. Because I think Dan's that good. Okay? That's the goal of this show. Did you learn more about something that maybe you hadn't thought about or didn't realize before? Yeah. You know, but hot takes, which has now taken over so much, and this is where ESPN's had a great failing in terms of radio. They've gone from a few shows that they had over time where you kind of felt like it was done, you learned something. And sometimes, yeah, look, you're filling time or whatever so people will have some fun, some laughs. And that's fine, too. That's because it is a show. It's entertainment. But when you're doing hot takes and the ridiculous thing, what's a greater legacy, Brady or LeBron? Oh, God. That's right away, it's like, what else is on? And they toot too much of that stuff. It doesn't serve the audience. It's just giving these people topics to fill time. Well, you should be able to fill time on topics by talking about meaningful stuff. Yeah? No, you should. You know, I mean, people say, well, you talk a lot about money on the show because I'm trying to help educate everybody as to why things are the way they are. Like, what's the reason behind this? And that's important. You know, that's why we talk about what we talk about at times with some of the money issues, for example, because guess what? If that's not happening, you're not going to get a chance to watch what you want to watch. You know, yesterday we talked about Bowling Green yesterday. I gave you a thumbnail sketch of Bowling Green. Why? So the fan at least had a thumbnail about who they're watching. You may not have cared, which is your prerogative. Oh, yeah, they'll just win by a whole bunch. Don't worry about it. Okay, I got that. That's fine. Or you're like, okay, who am I watching for? Okay, who's 7? Bazelak. Okay. He played for Tom Allen. All right, who's 3 when he comes in the game? Well, that's Anderson. He's the really fast quarterback they use in the Wildcat. Okay. You know, you have people who do want to know that. Now, I don't talk recruiting. I know a lot of people want to know about that. But, again, that continues to be an NCAA. In the craziness of everything you're allowed to do today, you can now, I mean, players can get money. Players can transfer anytime they want. But, God forbid, you sit there and you tell that the play-by-play announcer, who's paid by the program, mentions a recruit's name. Oh, that's a violation.
I think it's amazing you have to avoid names to do the high school roundtable tomorrow.
I know. I do, because even if there's people say to me, well, Penn State's not even recruiting them. Anybody who's eligible for recruitment, I can't. The person I'm talking to, they can mention all the names they want. I can't. It's just the rules. And it's my, you know, responsibility to do the best I can to adhere to that. Yeah. And all the craziness of everything you can do today. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, by the way, did you see no more in-game interviews are going to be allowed with players for the rest of the season? The NCAA ruled. No QR codes on the back of the Oklahoma State helmets. Out. No more in-game interviews with any player on a network TV show. I'm talking about during the game, from kickoff to final whistle. NCAA says no. Now, after the final whistle, obviously everybody's it's wide open. But TV can't stop. Holly Rowe cannot stop and say, hey, look, let's talk to Texas quarterback. Well, I guess, you know, it's Quinn Ewers about whatever. Can't do it. NCAA ruled after this weekend, you can't do it anymore. Now, it doesn't affect us. We weren't doing it anyway. But it's an interesting world out there, man. It's an interesting world. All right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Get your journey started today at NILGameChangers.org on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.